Welcome to the We Hate Spider-Man podcast. Well, it's an entire podcast between two guys who hate Spider-Man, and he's always meddling and getting into our affairs, and we don't like it. And we don't like him.
That's right. I'm not the Rhino. I'm Scorpion. He's also a guy who hates Spider-Man and sounds kind of dumb.
Yeah, and I am the Rhino. And so anyway, let's get into the top three things we hate about Spider-Man.
Well, for one thing, he's always breaking our expensive suits.
Yeah, and he's getting that web stuff all stuck all over me, and it's hard to scrub off in the shower.
How come all Spider-Man's villains are just different animals?
That's a good question, you know, Nick. One that we may not be able to answer. We have to go back in time and ask Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, Excelsior.
Yeah, I like that meme where it's like, what is the natural enemy of the spider? And it's like Jack Kirby climbing out of 3 pounds of cocaine. Goblins!
Fantastic. All right, guys. Well, welcome everybody to the Trelur Blazures podcast, the podcast about trailers of movies and video games and TV shows and what have you. Hosted by two dumb dudes, Nick Kelly and Ben Moon. I am Ben Moon. Who are you?
I'm the other one. Nick, okay. So. Nick is the one I am. Yeah.
We have very important opinions on very important subjects. The most meaningful things in our lives, you know?
Yep.
Entertainment.
It's true. And they're not making it easy on us. Stuff is coming out very slowly at this time.
Yeah, even though we're getting close to like May and the summer blockbusters, I feel like there's just not much going on.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I think this year we have to deal with the strike of last year has affected the output. So I don't know. There's just not. It's not a big summer.
Yeah. It's not, but both of us have been busy watching stuff, and I'm actually very interested in this segment of the show about what we done had watched.
What we done had watched this past week.
Because I want to hear your thoughts on all the stuff you've been watching, and I have a lot of thoughts on what I've been watching. So tell us, Nick, what have you been watching?
All right, well, I'm up to date on X-Men 97, but as we say, you will not hear us talk about that on the main feed. That is a Patreon feed, and I will be posting episode 3 on the Patreon probably tomorrow or later today, because we recorded that one already, and then we'll continue as time goes.
Yes, I enjoy recording those.
Yeah, that's fun. So if you want, there's a lot of Patreon content coming out right now because we're recording for every episode of X-Men, so that's fun. And then I'm still watching Shogun. I'm an episode or two behind on Shogun because of Fallout, which we'll talk about.
Yep.
Bad Batch, watching Bad Batch. Still continuing my Star Trek watch by Airdate. And last night I watched Star Trek Insurrection, which is a TNG movie. It's technically it's the third one. Because it's Generations and then First Contact and then Insurrection. Insurrection sucks. It's bad. It seems like it was just an inflated, like, filler episode idea. So the plot wasn't good. Rick Berman, the producer, made them cut out any in-depth references to other Star Trek material. So, because he said it will confuse audience members who aren't up to date on the other series. And I have no respect for that opinion. Because you should be rewarding the people who care. And also, those are the people who generate money for you. Not Bob Johnson in Iowa, who's going to see it once and never again in his life. So he's confused for 3 seconds. He's not paying attention in the first place. You should have left in the reference to Jadzia Dax, for me, who loves Deep Space Nine, to appreciate in the movie. I mean, they did reference Deep Space Nine once because that's where Worf lives, but, like, they cut out a Quark cameo. They wouldn't let Jonathan Frakes use Q. because people might not have watched TNG. What are they seeing a TNG movie for then? It was just bad. It's the worst of the movies that I've seen so far, and that includes the one that William Shatner directed from the original series movies.
We're putting Bob Johnson in Iowa on blast. Bob Johnson can get wrecked.
That guy's taste is so bad. So yeah, I watched that. Last weekend, Jess and I and my cousin went to see Godzilla X Kong. This is an insane movie. So my cousin and my cousin-in-law and me and Jess sitting in a row watching this movie. How do I even talk about this movie?
It's more American Showa era.
Yes, it is definitely that. It reminded me of... there's one of the Godzilla movies where they put like subtitles for the monsters talking to each other. It might have been Godzilla versus Gigan in the Showa era.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it reminded me of that, but also mostly it reminded me of Bad Boys 2. Like, it was Bad Boys 2 with monsters. It was, I think, on purpose. I think Adam Wingard was shooting it like Michael Bay. The shots were like these weird pan shots of people nodding at each other, but it was giant monsters instead of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It really just like reminded me of Bad Boys 2. The plot was insane. At one point, I don't know, that's a spoiler. It was actually the best scene in the movie. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
No, truly insane. When we got out of the theater, we were like, did we just see that? Did that really happen? Like, that was a movie that happened? So yeah, it was really, really weird. It was entertaining. It was like, it was dumb. It was a dumb movie, but it was fun. So it was entertaining. And then Jess and I watched all of Fallout, which is fantastic. It's just 100% Fallout. It's like the best video game adaptation up there with Arcane. Which is funny because Ella Purnell, who's the main character of Fallout, is Jinx in Arcane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she's got the two best video game adaptations just on lock.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
I am here for really well-done video game adaptations, and I'm thinking about... I didn't even finish it, but The Last of Us, you know, was... Whether you liked it or not, there's no denying that a lot of care was taken and a lot of... skill was, you know, utilized in the making of that show.
Yeah, it seems like they just now figured out how to adapt video games. I think starting with Arcane, which to me is the top tier of adaptations for video games. And Fallout
incredible
is joined to the ranks there. I did not watch The Last of Us. I do not care for the IP.
Sure, I don't either. But that's why I say, like, even if you don't like it, you cannot deny that it was well made.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it, but just I know that it was, having not seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I watched all of Fallout. Walton Goggins, really great in there.
Oh, it's great.
The VFX, there's a couple wonky shots throughout, mostly involving power armor or things jumping, which is not... on them because no one can make CGI things jump realistically.
I've never seen anybody do it.
No, in anything. And not anything. Even Marvel. The highest budget Marvel.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
So yeah, I watched that. And then just before we started recording, I watched last night's Saturday Night Live because it was hosted by Ryan Gosling. And his SNLs are the best because he laughs through every single skit throughout the entire thing.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Was that the episode that had the Jumanji sketch?
No, that was Kristen Wiig's last week, which I also watched because I love Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
But that Jumanji one was excellent. That was probably the best one of last week's.
Genuinely funny. Somebody sent me that to me because I hadn't watched it and they sent it to me and I was like, oh, this is great.
You need to watch the Beavis and Butthead one from the Ryan Gosling episode. I was literally crying. I was laughing so hard.
I gotta see it. Okay, well that is excellent. Is Star Trek Nemesis the Borg one with Picard?
That's First Contact is the Borg one.
Oh, okay.
And Insurrection is the one that I watched last night, which is just like a planet full of hippies versus aliens that want their planet. It was really bad. And then Nemesis is the next one, and that has Tom Hardy in it as the bad guy.
Okay.
I've never seen that one, so I don't know anything else about it.
I remember watching one, maybe it was First Contact, that I watched as a kid with my mom, and we both liked it. And we weren't Star Trek fans at the time, but I just remember seeing it.
First Contact is extremely good, and Insurrection is extremely bad.
Yeah. So I'm not caught up on X-Men 97, but it remains really, really good.
You better watch that last one before you see spoilers.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz on the internet about it.
Yeah.
So I do need to catch up there. Aaron and I are continuing our swapping of movies and shows to watch. So I watched Emma, the new Emma. We haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, have we?
No. Is that the one with...
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it. I want to watch more Jane Austen.
Well, there's like, a lot of it.
I know. I'm excited to watch it. Like, I want to watch Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility. I may even at some point go back through the old BBC Pride and Prejudice.
Now you can become one of the people who just wants a Muppet version of Pride and Prejudice really badly.
Oh, you have done Inception on me. I already want it now. I haven't thought about that, but I want it.
Roy Kent from Ted Lasso is actively trying to get that to happen with him playing Mr. Darcy and everyone else being Muppets.
I love it. I would eat that up. Okay.
Brett Goldstein, that's his real name.
Brett Goldstein, yeah. Roy Kent. I know him as Roy Kent, though, yeah. So I loved Emma. It was really good. The costumes in that movie are unreal. So it's the Regency period, which I like that manner of dress better than like Victorian. It's like all high collars and waistcoats. The dudes in this movie look awesome. I wish we could dress like that. They look so cool. And then the fabrics that they use in this movie are unreal. Like, you just go, normal people like us cannot buy fabric like these. They're not available to us. Maybe if you go to New York and some, you know, warehouse downtown, they have it. But not around here, not at Joann's.
Yeah, not at the Sheboygan Joann Fabrics.
No, absolutely not. So anyway, loved it. So the movie I picked this last time was Annihilation. Well, I think there's a couple here, but Annihilation, she had to watch Annihilation with me.
Yep.
Alex Garland is genius. That movie is brilliant. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so good. I still love it.
I messaged Erin about this. She posted on her story.
Yeah, what did she say?
And I said, my friend Adel says there is life before the Annihilation Bear and life after the Annihilation Bear.
Oh, man. Terrifying.
And then also she did a poll where she was trying to get people to think of movies that she should make you watch. And someone was like, The Mummy. And I said to her, I said, good luck. There's a 3-episode arc of Trailer Blazers where I am trying to get Ben to watch The Mummy.
Yes. We will get there. I think I've only seen half of The Mummy, I think.
You're not living your life right yet.
I know. Heathen. We also watched Lady Bird. Have you ever seen Lady Bird?
Yes.
It deserves the rating it has on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like, I think, near perfect.
Yes.
It's so good and funny and relatable, I think. It's, you know, you can see that it's very in tune with the American teenage girl experience.
Yep, and also the American Catholic school experience.
You would have that angle, right? Did you go to Catholic school?
Yep.
Yeah.
Greta Gerwig directed that.
Yeah, and Greta Gerwig. Great.
Timothée Chalamet plays the perfect loser.
Oh man,
teenage boy in that.
Like cool guy.
Yeah, but then he's such a dork, really.
He's got like conspiracy theories and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. I watched all of Three Body Problem. I binged it.
Keiko O'Brien's in that, I just learned. From Deep Space Nine, Chief O'Brien's wife, Keiko. I don't know the actress's name, but yeah, she's in it.
So this is, I think this might be divisive. I don't know. I read all the books. I read all three books. Really like them. They're really out there. They really take some crazy turns and stuff, sci-fi. I thought this is about as good as you could do with that material. Some people say the Chinese one is better. Some people say the Chinese one is too slow, yada, yada, yada. But I thought they did a good job with this. I really liked it. It starts off not great. Like, the first episode is kind of corny, it feels like.
Yeah.
And then it kind of finds its rhythm. And so I would say, don't judge it based on the first episode. Like, keep going. Definitely recommend reading the books or listening to the books first. But I hope it gets renewed. I hope they go through the whole trilogy. I think it would be great.
I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah. And then I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in the theater.
Yeah. So two movies that we each saw the same weekend, both of them with Empire in the title, Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, both where an ice monster was a large part of the plot.
Yes. I think you won on the enjoyment factor.
Yeah.
I did not really like this movie.
I don't think most people did. It's the vibe, that the buzz that I was getting was not great.
It doesn't feel like Ghostbusters. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm realizing. And I think we had maybe had a conversation about this. The 80s is full of movies that were lightning in a bottle. They cannot be created. The magic cannot be recreated. In fact, Ghostbusters 2 couldn't even capture the magic of Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah, Ghostbusters 2 is not even good.
It's not even really good. The Ghostbusters is lightning in a bottle, okay? Never-ending story, lightning in a bottle. Running Man, lightning in a bottle.
Escape from New York.
Escape from New York, right? There's very few things that you can capture the magic in. I think they're maybe getting to some of that with Predator, maybe, you know. Nick is waving to my oldest daughter. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire just feels soulless, I think is what I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, it has a lot of elements that are really good, right? Like the soundtrack is really good in this movie. It harkens back to the original soundtrack. It's very much like that. It feels great. The soundtrack, awesome. But just bringing in characters from the original movie and just trying to play off some nostalgia stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care anymore. I want it to feel like Ghostbusters. It doesn't have to have all the original, some of the original. I don't know how to explain it.
I feel just, like I understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
When I saw the trailer, I thought the trailer was really good, and I will stand by the fact that it's a really good trailer.
Yeah, it's a good trailer, yeah.
But the mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I was like, no, don't do that. And just like, if it was, like, Ghostbusters 2 didn't have any references to Ghostbusters 1 in it, so don't make references. I hate when things make references to predecessor. Like, the Hobbit has a lot of quotes from Lord of the Rings cheekily thrown in it, and that really bothered me when I was watching it.
Because it takes place before Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and it's like, why are they saying the exact same things in the exact same phrasing that they say in Lord of the Rings? They're quoting it to wink at the audience, and that takes me out of it.
Yeah.
Also, the Ghostbusters are supposed to be paranormal plumbers, and I feel like they're only that in the first movie, and then everything else is like a big world event after that. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'll still see Frozen Empire, but I'm not going to see it in the theater.
Yeah. Like, they try to do some things with, like, hey, these guys are still down on their luck. You know, like, they're having to overcome not just the odds of just the ghostly entities and all that kind of stuff, but they have to overcome human society elements. You know, they're down on their luck. So they try to do that, but I just don't care. They do a lot of lore building in this. So if you see this, you'll be like, oh yeah, they're building rules. They're building lore. They're building how some of this stuff works, the inner workings of all this stuff, which I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you're building this stuff so you can make more movies and make this sort of a franchise, you know, keep this a franchise. But if you don't have the vibe right, if you don't have the feels right, this is a movie. This is something that really needs vibes.
Yeah.
It really needs a feel. Okay. And it just doesn't have that. And I think that's probably its biggest flaw.
Yeah. I feel like that's the vibe that I got. I mean, yeah. I'll watch it, but I'm not going to see it in the theater.
Oh, don't go see it in the theater. Absolutely not. No.
I am going to go see The Fall Guy in the theater. I see every Ryan Gosling movie.
Right.
That came out this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when I'll see it.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say is Fallout. I'm a huge Fallout fan. I've done multiple Fallout costumes. I've played everything Fallout since Fallout 3. love Fallout. I love the show. It makes me giggle. I see lots of Easter eggs. I mean, there's like foods from the game that show up in the show. It's just delightful. Is it perfect? Of course not. You know, could some of the writing be better? Yeah, okay. But they are giving us quality Fallout. We're in that world. We get to see some of these things in real life. It works. It's great. I love the characters. Walton Goggins is a national treasure.
Yep.
Full endorsement. Love it. I've only watched 3 episodes, but I can't wait to watch more. Okay. Yep. And I'm watching it with Aaron, which is great.
It's extremely good.
So good. All right. Let's talk about this here new news.
This is the Dumb Dudes News Network.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be heavy on what we watched in news and light on trailers, because there wasn't a lot of good trailers. So
correct. That
is
correct.
This is the meat and potatoes here.
Yeah. First one here. Oh, no, you read this first piece of news, because this is more for you.
Yeah, so the next new Futurama season, they announced the start date is going to be July 29th. They bring back Futurama every couple years, like just on and off whenever the world needs more. I will say I was pretty disappointed with the last group last year, the last bunch. It started off strong, I think, because the first episode was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just kind of generic. And also, one of the episodes, I would say, is the worst episode ever made of Futurama.
Oh, no.
So we'll see. We'll see if it's good. So I'm a little less hyped than I was for the last batch beforehand because of the last batch.
Gotcha. Okay. They have cast Silver Surfer.
Now, that's misleading to say it that way. And
it is.
Every single e-news or entertainment news outlet is phrasing it that way on purpose to sow discord, and it's driving me insane.
Yes.
They did not cast the Silver Surfer. They cast Shalabao, a Silver Surfer.
A Silver Surfer, right. Yeah. Right. So I have friends that were like ranting about this. Even my friends were ranting about this. And I'm like, I don't really care. This and you're going to explain this here in just a moment. This fits within the lore from the comics. This is comic accurate, okay? And who cares? It's a cartoon.
Yeah. So it's comic accurate because Shalabao is a different character than Norrin Rad, who is the Silver Surfer. They're both from the same planet. Shalabao is the empress of the planet and like a love interest for Norrin Rad, the Silver Surfer. They've both had the power cosmic. They've both been heralds of Galactus, and they both kind of look the same. There's been several iterations of the Silver Surfer. 2 out of 3 of the main ones were female. And people on the internet and people in just geek culture like to be gatekeepers.
Yep.
For things that they themselves have not read the source material for and only have a passing familiarity with, but they don't expect any other people to have, so that's what they do. And I think a lot of people did that with this, and they're like, well, they gender bent the Silver Surfer. First of all, they probably don't know anything about the Silver Surfer.
Correct.
Apart from having had a Topps shiny Silver Surfer card in 1998.
When Undertaker threw mankind off Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, exactly. they don't know. They didn't read Fantastic Four. They didn't do it. And I have conversations with people all the time who are complaining about stuff and then didn't end up reading the comics. And it's like, I don't respect your opinion anymore. Shalabao's not the Silver Surfer. It's a different character. There's also 15 to 20 other Heralds of Galactus that I can think of the top of my head. Like, would you be mad if it was Tarek? Would you be mad if it was Nova? Would you be mad if it was Fire Lord? Who's the blue guy? The blue guy with the, I can't remember his name, but I didn't go to Wikipedia, look it up, and pretend that I knew everything about it at this second, which is what a lot of people do.
Yeah. To me, this is the equivalent of people would people getting mad that, like, oh, they changed the nationality of Ghost Rider. Who's this Robbie Reyes? You know.
Yeah, they did, like, not. Different guy didn't change the nationality.
Yeah, it's a, and the different guy is a Ghost Rider.
Yeah, there's multiple Ghost Riders.
There's multiple Ghost Riders.
10 Ghost Riders that the people who complain about it never even heard of. So
exactly.
So this drives me insane.
I know it's this is what we have to live with in a society of this many people with the internet existing. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I'm excited for this just because I like Silver Surfers, plural. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool concept, and we want Fantastic Four antagonists. So there it is. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Tim Kring. You ever heard of Tim Kring?
Sure have. He's the creator of Heroes.
He did. If you've watched Heroes back in the day, which sort of fell off the cliff, you know. Yep.
After season one.
Yep, after season one. And I think that was due... A lot of it was due to writer strikes, maybe, at the time?
Yes, the writer strike happened during the second season of Heroes.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway, this guy, Tim Kring, he is developing a new Heroes series.
This has to be at the top of the list of things that nobody asked for.
Exactly.
So, let's go over the history of Heroes here.
Okay, all right.
There was the original season one, very good. A good NBC show about superheroes.
Yeah, it was good.
Then there's three more seasons after that, all bad. Like,
all bad.
Terrible.
Yep.
Including during the fourth season, there was a sprint paid for a little webisodes, and it was a tie-in show called Slow Burn. And my cousin and I, we still make this reference. We'll just, anytime something has like a really corporate, schlocky feel to it, we'll go, Slow Burn, which is what the commercials for this said.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, it was during season four of Heroes, and it was called Slow Burn. And there was commercials, and it was like, The Sprint presents Slow Burn, webisodes of Heroes. And we just thought that was so hollow and corporate and funny. And then that pretty much Heroes died with the terrible season four. And then they came back with, I think it was like Heroes Reborn or something. And no one was interested then. And no one watched it. It had really bad ratings. I can't even tell you what it was about apart from the horn-rimmed glasses guy was in it because he's like the main character of Heroes. And that bombed, and no one watched it. And here we are yet again, and Tim Kring is like, hey, remember Heroes? And we're like, we do, but we're trying not to, Tim, and you're making it a little hard for us to move on.
Tim, this is Tim Kring's fetch.
Tim, stop trying to make Heroes happen. Zachary Quinto isn't going to come back anymore, man. He's busy.
Is Zachary Quinto the guy that talks out the side of his mouth?
He's Spock in the J.J. Abrams Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Who's Star Trek.
Yeah, that's it. Who's the kid, though, that talks out the side of his mouth?
Is it Milo Ventimiglia?
Yeah, he's the Italian guy. Yeah,
he's the guy that plays Rocky's son in Rocky Balboa.
Yes.
And he was on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think he was on Gilmore Girls. Yeah, he was on Gilmore Girls. It was him and Dean from Supernatural. Okay. Not Dean, Sam. His real name is Dean. No, his name was Dean on Gilmore Girls, and he was played by Sam from Supernatural.
There you go.
My Gilmore Girls fans know what I'm talking about.
Can I get a what? Gilmore Girl fan?
It's been a while. I haven't watched it since it was on. Yes, I watched Gilmore Girls when it was on.
Rapid fire dialogue. The Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it was like Aaron Sorkin wrote a CW show. It was great.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. That's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about this. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it's rated. Hey, this piece of news is interesting. TMNT, The Last Ronin, ever heard of it? Very famous comic series, very violent.
Yep.
Where all the Ninja Turtles have died except for Raphael, and he's out for revenge. He's out for blood.
Michelangelo.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Michelangelo is The Last Ronin.
Am I in an alternate universe?
I think so.
In the universe I came from, it's always been Raphael.
No, you're just thinking that because he wears a red mask, but they all wear red masks in the IDW Ninja Turtles comics.
I could have sworn it was Raphael. What the heck?
I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's not. It's Michelangelo.
Every day I stray further from my original universe.
In the comic, if people don't know, Ninja Turtles started as a gritty kind of almost parody of Daredevil, which is why the foot is called the foot, because it's the opposite of the hand, which are the ninjas in Daredevil. And they were created with the same ooze that blinded Matt Murdock, because you can literally, in the comic, you can see Matt Murdock get hit by the ooze before it goes in the sewer in the IDW comics. And then also there's a character in the Ninja Turtles comics that literally is based on Elektra, looks exactly like her. I forget her name. She's in The Last Ronin too, though.
Okay.
And then when it got to... turned into an animated series, they had to do a lighthearted kids version. So and then that sort of became the main version because it was the most popular. And then the Kevin Eastman and Laird and Eastman wrote the comics.
Yeah,
and they wrote The Last Ronin not too long ago. It's not very old. And it was supposed to be it's an alternate universe. It's not canon to the old IDW comics even. And they wrote this to be the last story in the universe of the Turtles. It's Michelangelo is the only one left. But in the first few issues, they don't even reveal which one it is because he's got all the weapons.
Right.
And then he's going against the grandson of the Shredder, who's running the fascist regime now. And, it's him, it's Michelangelo, and it's April O'Neil and Casey Jones' daughter. And Casey is dead, too. And then the main villains are Baxter Stockman and Shredder's grandson. So Paramount, who is an enemy of me right now, but also sometimes a friend, Paramount is making a movie of Last Ronin.
And, that's the news.
Yeah, it's a live-action movie. Last Ronin. I don't know if it's going to be theatrical or Paramount Plus only. And they're also making a video game, like a third party or a third person RPG, like Ghost of Tsushima, but of The Last Ronin. So I'm actually pretty intrigued by both of these.
Yes. Yes.
And I would like to see the movie, and I would like to play the game.
Yeah, the movie apparently is going to be rated R and going to be gritty and all that. So
yeah.
This would not be the Turtles that you know
unless from a childhood. Read the Laird and Eastman IDW comics.
Correct. Some great covers of that Last Ronin series comics.
Yeah. The art from that is really cool.
Yeah.
Why do I know so much about this? I'm not I don't know. I'm not a huge Ninja Turtles guy. It sounds like I am from what I just said.
Yeah.
I really don't know why I know all that.
I think the history of the Turtles is very interesting.
I think that's probably why I know all of this.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about these. Very interested, and we'll sort of watch the news of this very closely, and my friends will too. So I'll probably get every tidbit of information that comes out as it trickles out.
Yeah, we'll cover this on this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Amazon has already renewed Fallout for season 2. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, of course, it's great. It's Amazon has this weird thing where all of the stuff that Jess likes the best is adapted by Amazon. So Jess is if I had to say three things that she likes the most, I would be Wheel of Time, Fallout, and Good Omens. And all three of those are Amazon TV shows.
That's right. And she also has Borderlands coming out, so she's getting her fill.
Yeah, it's a good time for her.
It's a good time for old Jess in the next room.
There's tons of Fallout stuff in my house. I played Fallout 3 the most. I was obsessed with Fallout 3.
I love Fallout 3.
It's my favorite by far.
I think it's my favorite too, yeah.
I did not play New Vegas because I started it. I borrowed it from my cousin. I started it, and I kept getting killed instantly no matter what I did, so I got frustrated, and I quit, and I gave it back. So I never played New Vegas, so I missed out on that one, which everyone says is so good. I just didn't have that experience. In Fallout 4, I never tried to do the main storyline at all. Because they'd be like, go get your kid. And I'd be like, no, I'm going to go over here. but I do
love
Fallout.
They even mentioned that in the show, they even mentioned that, like, the golden rule of the wasteland is you always get sidetracked.
Yep, yep.
I was like, that's true of the game.
It fully is.
Yep.
But yeah, Fallout 3 is my favorite, and the show is really, really good.
Indeed, sir. Last piece of news here, something we're kind of sad about.
Yeah, so this is why I said Paramount was my enemy. So Paramount decided that Lower Decks is going to end with Season 5. Which is a travesty. It is actually critically the highest rated thing that Paramount has. It had higher ratings than Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which they renewed for Season 4, which is great news. But why would you renew that and not Lower Decks, which had higher ratings? I think it has a higher Rotten Tomatoes score than anything else that is on Paramount.
Oh.
And also, like, Paramount has Halo, which is one of the worst things that I have ever watched. It's one of the worst adaptations. It's truly bad.
Yeah. So like it's insane to see that and compare that adaptation to Fallout.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you do it like Fallout?
I feel like too that I was very generous with Halo Season 1.
You were.
I was.
Absolutely.
Like, I was like, all right, let's take the game out of the equation. Like, is this a good sci-fi series? And I was like, half of it, yeah, it's good. And, like, the aliens are cool. But Season 2, truly, truly awful. Like, there's nothing redemptive about it. I have nothing good to say about Season 2 of Halo. Gosh. So I'm mad at Paramount. I'm happy that that Strange New Worlds is renewed for Season 4.
Yes. That's another piece of news yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. There should be... Like, I'd be happy with 5 seasons of Strange New Worlds, because drama things should be 5 seasons.
Sure.
But Lower Decks, the meta joke would have been to have 7 seasons, because that's how many seasons most of the Star Trek series have. So TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager all have 7 seasons. So make Lower Decks have 7 seasons, if you're going to limit it. Like, it should be 25 seasons, because it's better than everything else.
I agree. So having this piece of news, this is the last piece of news that we have, and that's going to bring us to the question times.
The questions times.
And you say, Nick makes a surprise face. Ben, on the outline, there is no question times this week. No, I have one for you, okay?
All right.
The question is, as we are receiving the last season of Lower Decks, or when we know what it is, if you could have any type of Star Trek season be made, what would be the time period and the premise of the show?
So this is a new, like, you're telling me to pitch a new Star Trek?
Yeah, like, you'd be like, I want a show about the First Contact War. Okay. Or the Klingon War, you know, that kind of a thing.
I do not want to go back in time.
Okay.
Personally. Oh, that's such a good question. So, My favorites are the 90s ones, like Deep Space Nine and Voyager are my two favorites. And as I'm doing my watch through right now, I can say with absolute certainty that Deep Space Nine is the best written Star Trek that exists.
Okay.
Like, of all of them. Mm-hmm. Lower Decks is probably my favorite. Voyager, nostalgically, is my favorite because that was, like, the one that I watched the most when I was a kid. And also, mm-hmm. Seven of Nine is my favorite fictional character. Deep Space Nine is by far the best. Like, it's not even close. It's a lot better than all the other ones. Like, the writing is so good in Deep Space Nine. So I think I would like something along the same lines. Maybe following someone from Deep Space Nine, like a sequel to that. Or actually, they're trying to greenlight a Seven of Nine show that takes place after Picard.
Okay.
So I would be cool with that, but I want one at the same time as that, because they're working on that already. So if I get to pitch a new one, I would put up a new one like that, about Dr. Bashir.
Okay.
Because they, like, Section 31 was trying to get Dr. Bashir, and then Sisko's was getting Bashir to, like, go in there and sort of infiltrate Section 31 for the regular part of the Federation. And also, I just really like Dr. Bashir. The actor's great. Alexander Siddig, or Siddig Al-Fadil, as his name is in the first couple seasons, and then it changes to Alexander, and I was like, oh, buddy, did they make you change your name for the credits? And then you could get, like, Kira in there and, like, other Deep Space Nine people. Like, some of them are gone, but we could get Quark back. Like, Armin Shimerman will be Quark again. But yeah, that's what I want, is more, basically just more Deep Space Nine.
I got you. Okay. I'm going to say I would like a sci-fi action comedy of Section 31.
I think you're going to get at least part of that, because they are making that Section 31 movie.
Yeah.
With Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Or we could do even a live action version of the Cerritos crew.
Well, you know, you could get both, because the transporter clone of Boimler is in Section 31. So you could have Jack Quaid play live-action William Boimler in Section 31.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
And then it could be an action comedy then.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be perfect.
Yep.
But you can write into us if you're a Star Trek fan or not. It would be fun to have a non-Star Trek fan answer this question. If you could have any sort of Star Trek made, what would it be? If, you know, what kind of show would it be? Let us know, and yeah, we'll tell you how to write into us later.
I'm sticking with my Dr. Bashir spinoff.
Dr. Bashir spinoff, folks, and it's gonna be called Dr. Bashir: Shaka When the Walls Fell, by Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about these here.
New.
Trailers, folks. We have an Adele 8.
Yeah, and that was even a stretch to get to.
It really was. We're going to probably fly through some of these, since we're getting this podcast here is getting a little long in the tooth.
Yep.
So the first thing we have here is Tales of the Empire.
Yeah, so if y'all remember the shorts, Tales of the Jedi, the animated Star Wars shorts that Disney Plus put up that were really, really good last year, they did another one. This time it's called Tales of the Empire. The focus seems to be on Barriss Offee and Morgan Elsbeth here, which is great, because I have been wanting them to deal with what happened to Barriss since Clone Wars ended, because the last time we saw her, she was arrested by the Jedi in Clone Wars Season 6 and just carried off. And she's the reason Ahsoka left the Order, was because of the way they handled the Barriss situation. Which is what caused Anakin to go to the dark side, because he lost his moral compass there. And it's like, Barriss is important. So everyone was having theories about Barriss, like, was Barriss going to be the one who saved Grogu? Stuff like that. So to have this trailer, and then it's like, well, she's clearly, the Inquisitors are taking her, because Barriss had dark side tendencies in Clone Wars. So I'm really excited to see that. And then obviously Morgan Elsbeth is the Night Sister, and everything with the Night Sisters is cool and interesting. So looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, Force Witches are sort of having their heyday.
Oh, they are. Live action Night Sisters. Yeah, Ventress came back in Bad Batch. She was back. It was the first time we saw her since Clone Wars. Okay. There's like a book about her, but, you know, I didn't read it, so it was nice to see her again.
That's cool. This was a great trailer, just as the way it was cut. It was great, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love to see Thrawn in that Clone Wars animation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still want a full series of some of these Star Wars visions that have been done. I don't know if we'll ever get that, but I still think Star Wars visions should be a testing ground.
I agree. I still haven't seen Season 2. It's on my list of things I need to do, but there's so much to watch.
There is. You know, Visions, it's like half of it's really good, and the other half is, you know, just okay, take it or leave it. But some of the stuff in Season 2 is great.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
Yeah. Next up, we have Unfrosted.
In 1963 Michigan, business rivals Kellogg's and Post compete to create a cake that could change breakfast forever. This is Jerry Seinfeld's movie about Pop-Tarts. Jerry Seinfeld's obsessed with breakfast food, and he's been trying to get this made for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This also has a lot of good people like Jim Gaffigan in it. And,
huge cast.
But unfortunately, it does have Amy Schumer in it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate Amy Schumer, but I also don't like her at all.
Yeah, I don't like her. So
I don't really have any strong feelings for her. If she ceased to be in anything, I probably wouldn't even notice, you know.
Yeah, I was talking to Jay about that. It's like I don't like her. Like I dislike her. I don't think she's funny. Okay. But it's not enough to make me be like, "Oh, I don't want to watch this Pop-Tart movie," which does look entertaining. Like Jack McBrayer and Bobby Moynihan are in it, so I do want to watch it.
Yeah. Is this, well, here's what I didn't know. Is this like embellished history or historical fiction? Like what is this?
I think it's embellished. I think it's I know that it's probably very loosely based on an actual thing that did happen, but in a goofy Jerry Seinfeld fictional way.
Yeah, very loose, goofy Jerry Seinfeld way, right? Like the Quaker Oats guy is
Yeah, he's like dressed like that. And like Snap, Crackle, and Pop and stuff.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger even.
That was Hugh Grant was Tony the Tiger.
Yeah. So I don't. This is weird too. It looked weird. This didn't really strike me as something I want to watch.
Well, Fred Armisen is in the trailer for a second, so I will watch it. I gotta see it, and I have to get Netflix for Three Body Problems. And this comes out May 3rd on Netflix, so I might as well watch this.
You know, I might watch. You may have had me at Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
So I might check this out. Especially if you see it and say it's funny.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll probably get Netflix in May anyway for Three Body Problem. Because I'm almost done with Resident Alien, which is why I have Peacock right now. So once I cancel Peacock, I'll get Netflix and watch this.
Yeah. A sweater. Oh, I just put a clip of Fred Armisen in here just to do it.
You're charging too high prices for sweaters, glasses. You right to jail.
It's so good.
Right to jail. all right. Bad Boys 4. We have a Red Band trailer for Bad Boys 4. And brother, let me tell you this. I didn't even know that Bad Boys 3 had already come out.
I vaguely remember Bad Boys 3 happening.
We talked about the trailer, right?
Yeah. The only one I've seen is Bad Boys 2.
Okay. Oh, okay. You never even saw the original.
No. The plot is, this summer, the world's favorite bad boys are back with their iconic mix of edge-of-your-seat action and outrageous comedy, but this time with a twist. Miami's finest are now on the run. Now, I will say that this one was not directed by Michael Bay. It was directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, who I'm familiar with a little bit from other stuff they've done. But like, Bad Boys is so intrinsically a Michael Bay thing to me that it seems weird to have the Ms. Marvel directors direct it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen any Bad Boys. It's possible that I have seen Bad Boys 2, but maybe I'm just remembering seeing the trailers and that was it. I don't know.
You ain't seen Bad Boys 2.
The best part about Bad Boys is that quote from Hot Fuzz where Nick Frost goes, "You ain't seen Bad Boys 2." Yeah, Bad Boys 2 is insane. It's every 3 seconds there's a slow motion helicopter going over and they all look up at it in slow motion. It is really weird. It's a very funny movie, but most of it's laughing at it, not with it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. Godzilla X Kong was very much a Bad Boys 2 vibe, as I said earlier. But yeah, so I guess the success of this film will depend on if people still like Will Smith now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good. And you know, I think even Martin Lawrence was kind of problematic. Like the girl that played Gina on the show, like famously, did not like him or work well with him, and
yeah.
All that kind of stuff, like.
I have a feeling that this is not going to do well.
I can't foresee it doing great. I kind of wonder how the third one did. I never looked at like box office results from it.
Probably not great. I don't think. I wonder if Michael Bay directed that one.
Nah, I don't know. We're too lazy to look it up.
Yeah, I don't care. No one cares about Bad Boys.
Nobody cares. All right, moving on. We got a trailer for Bodkin.
A group of podcasters set out to investigate the mysterious disappearance of three strangers in an idyllic Irish town, but when they start to pull the strings, they find a story much bigger and stranger than they could have imagined. This stars Will Forte, and it stars Siobhan Cullen. And I think this is a really kind of creepy, cool-looking trailer. I love Will Forte. Last week on SNL, he showed up to give Kristen Wiig her 5-time hosting jacket. So he was in. They did the skit where they keep switching microphones, and Will Forte is my favorite thing that Will Forte does is his character in that. Where they switch the microphones and the people keep taking the microphones to do speeches, and he does this weird kind of like far right gun nut character who would be like a guy who lives in a bunker type guy, you know, but he takes the microphone and he holds it with just his fingertips, and I think this was like something that I remember word for word from 2008, like when Michael Phelps hosted. Wow. There's this one where he's talking about the government taking his guns and stuff, and he's like,
"Oh, I'll get rid of my bayonets. I shall bury them in the chests and bellies of those who would assail this great nation with their communist and socialist agendas."
And it's like, it's so funny. It's stuck in my head for that long. So I've just automatically kind of loved Will Forte since then. And also I love Ireland, and I love true crime podcasts, so every single thing about this movie is interesting to me, and it comes out in May on Netflix, which is the month that I'm going to have Netflix.
So you're going to end up watching only Murders in Ireland.
Yeah, I want to watch this. I like Ireland. I like Will Forte. Good stuff.
I don't think this is for me. This is looks like it might be a bit of a slow burn. And I don't
slow
really
burn. Slow burn.
I don't really listen to true crime podcasts. I have listened to some of them, but I don't particularly like them, so this is lost on me. But I'm glad this exists for you, because this seems right up your alley.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this one.
So that's Bodkin. Okay, now we need to talk about Dead Boy Detectives, which we have talked about before. This is in the Neil Gaiman universe of Sandman. Yep. Yeah. So we have like a full trailer for this.
Yep. The plot is Charles Roland and Edwin Payne decided not to enter the afterlife, to stay on Earth and to investigate crimes that involve supernatural stuff. So they're ghosts and they're detectives, and you can hire them. And then Death from Sandman is chasing them all the time because they're supposed to go to the afterlife. They're in the Sandman universe. Like, Death is the same actress as Death in Sandman on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're in other, like, they were in Doom Patrol, played by different people. Like, David Tennant's son was one of them in Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't read Dead Boy Detectives. Jess has. She was pointing out some stuff when we were watching this. She was like, "Oh, I wonder if they're adapting blah 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 or blah blah blah." So because of the Neil Gaiman affication of this, I will end up watching it on Netflix.
Gotcha. Does this take place in England?
I think it takes place primarily in England, as most Neil Gaiman things tend to do that aren't American Gods.
Okay. Will there be a single Pakistani person, as there didn't seem to be in the Sandman series, even though it was in England?
It looks like there's a good chance based on this cast list here.
Maybe they'll correct that wrong. I'll probably never get. I mean, this looks decently entertaining, I will say, but I will probably never get to it.
That's probably true, but yeah. I will get to it.
Okay, you'll get to it. Something you will probably not get to is Joker, Folie à Deux.
Okay, this is a sequel to Todd Phillips' Joker from 2019. I will remind everyone that Todd Phillips directed the Hangover trilogy and Old School, and is not a fancy Martin Scorsese type director like everyone has decided he is. I never watched the first one, but I still have strong opinions about it.
So take whatever you're about to say with a grain of salt.
I just think that this is not. I don't think it's a good thing to put in the world. This is like a neckbeard philosophy movie. It's very clearly just a combination of different Martin Scorsese movies, specifically Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. And the kind of people that like this are the kind of people that put Punisher logos on their van and drive around. I hate everything about it. I'm tired of the Joker as a character overall. I think this is way beneath Lady Gaga. I feel like she should have recognized that this is a neckbeard thing for just like that type of person and not be in it. I hate Todd Phillips. He's the kind of guy that says, "Well, you can't make jokes anymore because everyone's too sensitive," when it's like he's just not good. I hate him. I hate Todd Phillips. I hate the vibe of this. I hate everything about it. I hate the fact that there's this scene in this trailer where he puts lipstick on him, or she puts lipstick on a mirror, and he moves his face in front of it, and everyone on the internet's acting like it's the first time anyone's ever shot something cinematically in the history of film. It's like, this is something that impresses a 14-year-old. There's like, you like Donnie Darko, and then if Donnie Darko is your favorite movie, then you're impressed by this trailer. I just, everything about this, I hate.
Okay, so let me provide a little dose of a different take. I have seen the first Joker. I didn't particularly like it because I don't like movies that are just a depiction of a descent into madness. Okay, I didn't like Beautiful Mind. I didn't like Legion, the movie Legion. I didn't like Scarface. Okay, I don't like movies like this. I thought the Joker was fine. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I thought it was fine. It was decently made. I did watch the whole thing, but at the end of the day, I didn't care about it. Okay, so will I watch this one? Maybe when it comes to Max. But really, the only reason I'll watch this is because they will probably eventually merge this with The Batman, is what I'm thinking.
Incorrect. I can go ahead and help you out here on this one. It is okay, not related please. To The Batman at all.
They're not going to merge these universes.
No, they already have the Joker in The Batman, and it was Barry Keoghan.
Okay. So, I probably won't watch this then.
I saved you an hour and a half there.
Yeah, saved you a click. So I'm not going to watch this. Now, when you compare this to something like The Penguin, I am very interested in The Penguin.
Yes, it is the exact opposite
yeah.
level of interest for me.
Because The Penguin is an established bad guy.
Uh-huh.
We are dealing with the just traditional underworld crime, yada, yada, yada. It's not about mental health, which I don't like. I don't like stories about mental health, and especially when you don't know what's reality or not. Hate that. So, as we have established many times on this podcast. So, I will miss Joker for all the ado. Moving on. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Fly Me to the Moon. And this is not the movie about the animated flies getting on the rocket going to the moon.
Nope. This is marketing maven Kelly Jones wreaks havoc on launch director Cole Davis's already difficult task. When the White House deems the mission too important to fail, Jones is directed to stage a fake moon landing as backup. This is Scarlett Johansson and Woody Harrelson and Channing Tatum, Jim Rash, and then apparently Ray Romano is still around because he's in this trailer. But yeah, it's a movie about making a backup fake moon landing, and it's going to be on Apple, which means it's probably good.
I agree. Is this historical fiction, or is this based on a true story?
I do not know. I don't know if... I think that this is probably not true. Like, I think it's just fiction. I don't think they ever planned to even make a fake one. They just landed on the moon.
Yeah, no, I agree. No. And there was never, like, based on a true story, never popped up on this. I was waiting for it to, but it never did.
Now, would they? Probably. To not lose to the Soviets, you know? Like, I could see that it's compelling fiction. I don't think it actually is based on anything.
Yeah, this is like historical fiction. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different movies about the NASA moon missions from different aspects. You have, like, Apollo 13, where they didn't make it. You have the one about the black women who played a vital role in the missions. You know, all these different ins and outs of this program, right? And so I look at this sort of in that category. Here's an aspect, the marketing aspect. We're going to tell the story within that.
Yep.
But even if it is just historical fiction, it looks pretty interesting. I thought this looks really good. I think I'll check this out. And like you said, it's Apple Plus, so it's probably good.
Yeah, there's only one thing on Apple that I started watching and then didn't finish, and it was that retrofuturism show with Billy Crudup.
Right.
It was just
you said it was
boring.
Too slow, right? Yeah, kind of boring. Yeah. That's a shame. That sort of I sort of put that in the same category as Man in the High Tower.
Yeah.
Like a lot of potential, great premise, but overall just kind of boring.
Yeah. It just couldn't hook me. And the reason that I liked that aesthetic is because of Fallout. And now I have a Fallout show and I don't need any of the stand-ins.
Yeah. By the way, the music that they chose in Fallout, the show, is so perfect.
It's all from the games.
It's all from the game. And it's like the scenes that they put it with is so perfect. And then the original score sounds like it came straight out of the game, too.
Yep.
It's so good. Sorry, I don't mean to gush. I've seen every one of your movies a million times. All right, last trailer that we have here. I actually added that one this morning. I added it to the list. It's called Dark Matter. I think this is Apple TV Plus as well, right?
Yep. So it's probably good. The plot is a man is abducted into an alternate version of his life. Amid the mind-bending landscape of lives he could have lived, he embarks on a harrowing journey to get back to his true family and save them from a most terrifying foe, himself. This stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly. And also Alice Braga, who is the Borg Queen from Star Trek First Contact.
Yeah. So in contrast to me not liking movies about mental health, descending into madness, that sort of thing, I love movies that are like alternate dimensions and like quantum leaping between dimensions and that sort of thing. And that's kind of what we have here.
No, Alice Braga's name is very similar to the Borg Queen. It's a different person.
Oh, it's okay. I'm glad you caught yourself. Otherwise, people would be yelling at you.
It just occurred to me. I was like, wait, Alice Braga is the girl from I Am Legend and Predators and stuff.
Now the question remains: would anyone have caught that screw up, that mess up, that mess 'em ups, or was it just you? Were you the only person that caught yourself?
Oh, so far, I caught myself.
There's one. So that's one person.
Yeah, the Borg Queen is Alice Krieg. So not even that similar. So I don't know.
Okay.
Same first name.
Okay, so here's a question for you, Nick. I mean, we're pretty much done talking about Dark Matter. We'll probably watch this, okay?
Yeah, it looks good.
We often say that people are probably yelling at their headphones, yelling at the podcast. They're, we say something, they know we're wrong, and they're mad about it. Is that ever true? Has anybody ever yelled at us? Has anybody ever cared enough to be like, these dumb dudes are wrong, and I need to tell? Because we don't get like a bunch of emails about people telling us how wrong we were.
Jess tells me all the time.
Oh, Jess does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get real-time updates because she'll be listening to it and working at her desk during work, which is right next to mine. And then she'll like take her headphones out and tell me what we said that was wrong.
She's our fact checker.
After the fact checker.
After after the fact checker. Oh, maybe that's her new title for the show, Jess the After the Fact Checker. That's great. All right. Well, that does it for all the new trailers. And then, you can write into us to answer the question about the Star Treks. But if they were to write into us, how would they do?
Well, they could follow us on Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast, or they could email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. If they really want to support us, they can follow us on Patreon or contribute on Patreon at patreon.com/trailerblazers or simply trailerblazerspodcast.com. If they want, they could leave us a voicemail at hititifa8 or 448-488-4328. And if they are feeling extra generous, they can leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, which is still a great way for the show to gain traction. And if you do that, Quick Mickey's going to let you know what happens.
Yeah, baby, guess who's back? Elvin Hare, this is the bad boy, Quick Mickey himself. But let me tell you something. If we get enough 5-star ratings, I'm gonna fly myself to the moon. I'm gonna give me a couple moon rocks and some moon dust and bring it back to Earth. Because it's not a one-way trip for Quick Mickey. he likes to be on the earth. Quick Mickey himself. Now the question is, and let's say I bring back like 40, 50 pounds of moon rocks and moon dust. What's the going rate on that? How much money, buddy, should I make by selling moon dust? Moon rock, authentic moon dust. This is not a grift, okay? I'm going to actually have to go out there. And it's a couple days trip to get down there. So this is space trucking. You know, I'm a trucker in real life. So if I switch to space trucking, am I looking at becoming, you know, a low-level millionaire? And if I become a low-level millionaire, we can spend some marketing dollars on the podcast. And it's cyclical. A lot of things in life are cyclical. That's a tip.
Thank you, Quick Mickey. Effervescent, reticulated, resplendent, as always. For the Trailer Blazers, my name is Nick Kelly, and I am the Borg Queen. Happy Trailsers.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I'm an unfrosted bad boy. Happy Trailsers. Welcome back, folks, to the video game.
One quarter portion
of the show, folks. We have one piece of news and two trailers for you. However, I will say I've been playing Helldivers 2, and I started playing Scrabble Go.
Uh-oh.
So are you familiar with Monopoly Go?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so Monopoly Go is a mobile game that, I guess, is it Hasbro? Whoever owns it, right, has developed. They spent something like, I think, $500 million marketing it. This game has made over $5 billion. Have you heard about this?
No.
Monopoly Go is a mobile game that's made over $5 billion, okay? I've not been playing that. I don't care about Monopoly. I love Scrabble. I've been playing Scrabble Go. I am undefeated. As a matter of fact, I have actually not been able to find anyone who can challenge me. I am beating people with a score of like 350 and above, over 400, and they're like getting like 150, 175 at the most. Nobody's even coming close to beating me. And I don't know if that's because I'm sort of low level and because I'm just playing low level players, maybe.
Perhaps.
But the matchmaking does not seem to be fair because I'm destroying these people.
It turns out all the opponents Sven was playing were bots and not humans.
So anyway, but it's fun. I mean, I like it. I like playing Scrabble. Do you like playing Scrabble? You ever play Scrabble?
I really don't play a lot of games at all.
I love word games. I don't like Sudoku. Sudoku.
Yeah.
I don't like that Sudoku. That Sudoku. No,
I don't like numbers games. I like word games. But Scrabble, I'm pretty good at. I'll go ahead and tell you that. And I'm still loving Helldivers 2. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't played Baldur's Gate. I'm still playing it overall, yeah. But I haven't played it in a while.
Because you've been watching stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to watch right now, man.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of other stuff that I need that takes up most of my time. So, like, I got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, you're running, dude. You're looking. You guys can't see this on the video feed, but this man right here is half the man he used to be.
Oh yeah, I've been running 3.2 minimum miles per day for several months at this point. And I'm going to literally, as soon as we finish recording, I'm going to go run. And it's really, really warm out, so I might even go farther today than I usually do.
Nice.
So.
Nice. All right, so the industry piece of news here is something that I'm very happy about and something I'm going to partake in. So Bethesda is putting out a next-gen update to Fallout 4 for PC, Xbox, Series, whatever, and then PlayStation 5, and it's completely free. So if you own the game, you get to have this update and play it in 60 frames a second, 4K glory, and they've even added characters from the new show into the game.
I'm waiting for the Fallout 3 remaster.
I do really want that. I really do want that as well. But I will play this all day long. I've had sort of an itch to play a Bethesda game here lately, and so I will probably do this.
Well, I would say don't play Starfield because it's really boring. But I have Fallout, the show, made me want to play Fallout 3 so badly. It was like,
oh yeah.
I Googled it, and apparently there's leaked documents that have something about a Fallout 3 remaster.
So okay.
Hopefully we get an announcement.
Yeah, well, I think with the success of the show, surely they'll put some money into Fallout.
So. One would think.
Yeah. By the way, I have adjusted my plans for Dragon Con just a little bit. I am most likely not going to wear normal clothes at Dragon Con this year because I will have so many options for costumes. And I'm going to bring my Nuka-Cola delivery man, and I'm going to bring back my Vault-Tec jumpsuit, mechanics jumpsuit. Bring that back. And just be in Fallout because it's fun.
I can't wait to see actual DragonCon because I think you've said about 26 costumes that you're bringing so far.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd. So anyway, very excited about this next-gen update, and that is coming April 25th. So at the time of this recording, that is in 11 days, folks.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. All right, so new trailers that we have something called Marvel Rivals coming out, and this is basically a third-person Overwatch clone.
Yeah, the trailer was not very descriptive. It was just, like, environmental shots. Yeah, I don't know. I played Overwatch. I had a good time, but I had a good time because I was playing with Kevin and our friend Darren, and
yeah.
It was like I had a weird work schedule. So me and Kevin and Darren would play it just like in the late night, and it was just a cool, fun way to hang out with those two.
Yeah, that's what Destiny kind of was for me too.
Yeah, so like I don't really like online games apart from that much. So this is, I love Marvel, but I'm not going to play this.
Oh gosh, I'm definitely not going to play this. Yeah. I don't think arena battle shooter games like this are for me. I played Overwatch 1 for about 40 or 50 hours, and then it was like, I'm really done. Like, I don't have any desire to play this anymore. I got my money's worth. I don't regret it. I had a good time, and I'm done. And that's yeah. And that's fine. There's people who've played it, you know, I think, like, how long has Steph played this those games?
Probably like a trillion hours.
Yeah, like probably over 1,000 hours or something. And I love it for them. I love that people have Overwatch or what's that EA game that everybody plays, the free to play shooter?
Fortnite?
No. That starts with an A.
Apex Legends.
That's it. You know, I'm glad these games exist. I played Apex Legends. It's fine. You know, it's a good time, but I've had my fill. So I don't need to play Marvel Rivals. I'm glad it exists for people who want this. It's not for me. The next one is for both of us, ladies and gentlemen. This is for a lot. I think this game is going to sell
the next
like
one.
Hotcakes. So it's called Star Wars Outlaws. And do you have the premise pulled up, or we can just tell you the premise?
Yes. It's an open world Star Wars RPG where you are in the Outer Rims doing like jobs and missions for like Outer Rim gangsters like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And it's like stealth action adventure.
Stealth action adventure. That's right. You play as a girl. I can't remember her name. There's no force powers. I don't even see any Jedi. There's no lightsabers. You are on the edges of the war. You're not an active participant in the war. You're on the edges of it. And so in that regard, this, I think, is going to be fresh. I'm even asking the question, are the best Star Wars stories coming from the Outer Rim?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. I think the dirtiness, seedy underworld of Star Wars is probably the most interesting part of Star Wars.
Yeah. I like it whenever they do something kind of new. Like Andor was new and exciting, and then Ahsoka was like the opposite side of the Star Wars spectrum of Andor, but it was like you never had that level of Star, like that level of the sort of mystical side of Star Wars in live action, like to that degree. So
right.
This is like, to me, it's like that, like kind of like Andor, but for like the crime underworld part of it, but
yeah.
In a video game setting. And Kira from Solo is in it too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw a couple of places that looked familiar.
Jabba's Palace,
right. Yep. So I think, I don't know that I'm going to pre-order this, but I definitely want to play it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. I don't usually pre-order things because I usually don't care about the bonuses.
But, yeah, I don't either.
I really want to play this game badly.
Yeah, look, and it looks good. The graphics look good and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll play it. All right. And you got anything else? I got nothing.
Not a thing.
Well, for the Trailer Blazers, I'm Ben Moon, and peace outer rim.
And I'm Nick Kelly, and you sunk my Scrabble ship. Happy Trailsers. I don't think it's a good thing to put in the world. It's very clearly just a combination of
Armageddon.
And the kind of people that like this are the kind of people that put
Armageddon
on their van and drive around.